Good day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. It's great to have you here with us. We're so glad to have you as a listener wherever you're listening from. You know, we have folks, believe it or not, in over 45 countries who've tuned into this broadcast through our podcast, which goes around the world. We've had some listeners from Germany and from Australia, and we've had some even from Japan and Canada and all over the place, Mexico. So wherever you're listening from, we're glad to have you with us. We are coming at you from San Antonio, Texas, that wonderful, great state of Texas. And we're enjoying another day of God's goodness and grace. And my name is Jonathan Daugherty, and I'm here with my friend Steven Cervantes. Hey, Steven.
Hey, Jonathan.
And we are going to, you know, Steven brought up a great point to me off air about the fact that, you know, so many of us don't have role models. We don't have maybe somebody that's ahead of us or that we can look up to. And we're going to share with you a story this week of somebody who we both agree is a role model for those who are seeking to live lives of sexual purity. But he is what I might consider, as I've read some of his story, an unlikely role model, because where he came from is maybe not where you would consider a role model to come from. I think sometimes we have this polished image of role models and don't necessarily know or realize the process that they went to get to a place where we can now look at them and say, you know what, that's a person I could follow, that's a person I want to emulate. So, Stephen, why don't you kind of share with us a little bit about this individual and maybe where we're going to go in this week's topic.
Yes, I had the wonderful opportunity to have lunch with an individual, and he said that out of respect, I said, what name do you want me to use? He said, just use the name Thomas. And so it's a 50-year-old individual named Thomas. And what interested me was that he's been celibate since age 38. That's 12 years of sexual sobriety as a single man. And so that always intrigues me when I find a Christian that's walking a pure life, and especially a single guy. That's like doubly difficult, I think. So can I just launch into background?
Absolutely, yeah.
So he and I are talking, and he said, let me give you some background. I used to be a bartender, and it was a rough life, stayed up late, long hours, and I have to admit I'd often sleep with females that I met in the bar. And he said, my nickname was Whore Dog. Now that's not who I am today, he said. But let me take you on the early journey, and that's from age 20 to age 35. I was sexually active and had multiple one-night stands. And then one night I was sleeping with a woman, laying there with the stranger, and I said, I don't want to be here anymore. Just like a wake-up. And so then from 35 to 38, there's this transition that occurs. But let me give you the ending, and then we'll come back and fill it in. Because Thomas said, today I have a new name, not the old name. You know, my new name is a follower of Christ, and I'm striving to live to that standard because I want God in charge. And if I meet Mary, it's going to be to a woman who absolutely loves God. That's my new commitment.
And that is, I mean, that's quite a transition from a guy who regularly for, you know, 15 years was working at a place where it was very easy for him to just kind of have sex on demand with whoever he wanted to that particular night. And then to just have this 180-degree turn. And I think, you know, what I hear in his story, especially about the particular one night stand in which he just kind of had this wake up call of, I don't want to be here. I hear the story of many of the people that come in contact with our ministry. The story of a person who is following a path that just at the beginning of the path, it feels so right. You know, it feels good. It feels like it should be going in a positive direction, something that's going to bring fulfillment and satisfaction and real joy and peace. And yet the longer a person goes down that particular path, it's kind of like Thomas here. There's a point at which you might even be in the middle of the activities that path demands from you. And all of a sudden you realize, this isn't what my heart really wants. This isn't what my soul longs for.
Yes.
It's like this
doesn't deeply satisfy.
Yeah, it comes up empty and you wonder, yes, what am I doing here? You know, and I don't want to be here.
And every Christian listening knows what you're talking about. And it doesn't matter if it's the same struggle or different struggle. You get to the point where you realize that I was designed for more than this. Life has to be about more than this.
Mm-hmm.
So at age 35, Thomas wakes up. And after that thought, why am I here? I don't want to do this anymore. He sets out on a new mission and he moves to Hawaii. He decides to run a triathlon and he starts training. And it's time for a change and he knows it. And while training, he meets this committed Christian. And this Christian asks Thomas this question. And I don't know if it's this question and it's a statement all at the same time. Because this was the challenge. You will either be a fool or a committed Christian. They're running along, and that thought penetrates deep and gnaws on them. You're either going to be a fool and live a foolish life, or you're going to follow Christ and live a committed life with meaning and purpose. I mean, just over and over thinking about that, you either will end up a fool at the end of your life or a follower of Christ on an eternal mission. Just roll it over and over again till you too know. I mean, that's a deep penetrating statement or question.
Well, and I think when we come to a place, any of us, when we come to a place where we realize what we're doing in our own strength, what we're doing through our lust or whatever it is where we're basically saying, I'm going to be in control of my life, we all come to a place where when that kind of starts to break down, it seems like there's always questions that crop up, you know, questions about meaning, questions about purpose, questions about, you know, what am I doing with my life? And these are the questions that started to kind of gnaw on Thomas. And it was in these questions that he realized there had to be deeper meaning. There had to be something that went beyond merely the exterior and what you see and just your behaviors.
Yes. And so now we have a 3-year transitional process from age 35 to 38. And Thomas said, I struggled to make changes in my life and embrace Christianity because I would start well, but then I'd slip back. Fall back into the old pattern of fantasy and lusting, looking too long, enjoying too much. I knew something was not right. Something was still missing. But I kept plugging away, forging a new trail. Then I went to church and sat there and listened as the minister told the story of an athlete that was working out. And he was coming home and he was killed. When I thought, well, that's where I am right now. I am an athlete in training to run a triathlon. And that story just quickened in my heart to speak to me that there's urgency about this. And I finally came to the conclusion that I had not been living with respect to the Holy Spirit that was abiding within me. And that I had to be more mindful of the fact that the Holy Spirit lives within me.
And I would really challenge you listeners, if you're out there and if you've hit some of these walls that Thomas has hit where you're saying things like, I don't want to be here, you know, or what is the purpose? What is my meaning? What is my life all about? If that's where you are, if some of those questions are gnawing at you, don't ignore them. I think they're there for a reason. They're there for a purpose. They're there to channel you in a direction that's going to bring you to your knees, where you realize what your true need is. And the great hope in this, Stephen, I think, is that those questions, if we allow them to penetrate deep, will be the catalyst for us seeking the answers that we need. And, you know, the great thing about God is he says he can be found if we will seek him with all of our hearts.
That's good. That's right. Well, Thomas decided he had to work in all three areas of his life. He couldn't just work as an athlete. He had to work as an athlete, but not only. He had to work physically on this issue, but he also added spiritually and emotionally. And he had to recognize that there are several parts of himself all at work at the same time. That even though we are all sexual beings, we're also physical beings and emotional beings and spiritual beings. And it's important to work in those three areas so that we can get our lives to work as one.
Well, I think one of the dangers that people often have, if you've got a struggle with lust, if you're carrying secret fantasies, or if you've been involved in some behaviors, masturbation, pornography, things of that nature, and you begin to think of, I don't want to be here, I don't want to do this, something, I know this is wrong, I know this is not what I should be doing, there's a great temptation to think that the problem is purely a physical behavioral problem. Okay, if I'm looking at pornography, then therefore purity must mean I'm just not looking at pornography. Well, there is the physical behavioral aspect of it, but underneath all of our behaviors, all of our physical behaviors, are emotions and is a spiritual man or woman. And it's out of that that we really live our lives. It's out of our emotional self. It's out of our spiritual self that we actually live, that we actually, you know, move and make decisions and behave. And so you have to have an approach that when you reach that point of realizing something's not working with how you're currently living your life, that you have to take into consideration the comprehensive solution to your body, soul, and your spirit, not
yes,
simply your body.
That's right. Because sometimes people want to just give you a quick, simple answer, and it doesn't make much difference, you know, unless it addresses the whole person.
And that's really what Thomas learned, and especially in that three-year transitional period, or was learning in that transitional period, was, you know what, this quest for purity really is a process. It's not something that you don't take, you know, a little magic yellow pill, it's a process that you have to
that's
go through.
That's right. And he started with the basic belief that God could cure me of whatever mess I had. He can cure me. He can help me get past any habit I have. God is my solution, and I'm going to submit to him and seek answers. And this is what he learned. And you started the first part, that purity is a process. And then he understood grace, that no one was perfect, and no one manages purity even perfectly. We're on a journey to strive and hold purity. But that it's always a struggle in this culture with our flesh, with our history, with the influence of others. It's a difficult struggle. And if you're strong-willed and you've been strong-willed, it's even harder to lay down your will than someone that learned to submit earlier. And he just kept focused, and he kept doing the things that were helpful, studying, praying, working out, seeking help, you know, stayed busy on his mission.
I think that first one is key to me, that purity is a process. I think until a person, and listeners, until you embrace that as a truth, that purity is a process, and it's an ongoing process, I think until you embrace that, you're going to face a lot of frustration in your pursuit of purity, because ever so subtly, you'll begin to think that purity is a destination. You'll think that purity is a moment in time. Purity is a finish line that you will cross this side of heaven, in the sense that we equate purity with perfection. And I think it's so important to embrace purity as a process, because it means I'm continually in motion. I'm continually moving. And therefore, every single day I have opportunity to get better and better and better. And if you have that mentality, you don't grow stagnant. because I see so many people grow stagnant in their recovery. And what stagnation and recovery does is it causes drift back to your old ways of thinking and behaving. And so if you understand it's a process, you'll constantly be moving forward in a direction toward purity.
That's good. Well, Thomas also shared some observations. He said he started noticing something about his life. He said in the beginning there were long periods of temptation. The temptation wouldn't let up. It was just there, pounding him, bombarding him. And then he noticed there were weeks of temptation. And he'd arrived finally at a place where there were moments of temptation. And temptation still occurs, but it's important to shift it out of the arena of trying to fight it with your flesh and to just submit it to the, you know, the great one, the good one, the pure one, the right one, to the Heavenly Father.
And see, to me, this is the great hope of recovery, of pursuing purity. Because, you know, Stephen, you and I, we've talked with a lot of different guys, a lot of different people, and, you know, there is such unbelievable intensity of emotion, of frustration, of agony, of pain at the beginning of a person's journey to purity.
And I think, and confusion.
Yeah. And so what I think happens a lot of times is in that unbelievable intensity, they wonder, well, you're telling me it's always a struggle. You're telling me it's a process. You're telling me it's a progression, but is it always going to be to this level of intensity?
Yeah.
And
this
story right here of Thomas really provides a lot of hope. And this has been my experience too, is that as you progress, as you go through this process of pursuing purity, what happens over time is the temptations lessen in their intensity. In other words, the things that maybe 10 years ago might have absolutely just been crippling to me in terms of temptation, sometimes I might not even notice today. So there's a different intensity that you feel. And I'm so glad that Thomas shared this, because this is very important for people to realize. If we don't have hope that things can improve, why are we going to continue in the process of pursuing purity? I mean, we need to have hope, right? We need to have hope that things can get better and that you can actually be free from the power of your lust in your life. And that's, I think, what Thomas is stating here, is that he started realizing there's greater and greater freedom from his lust as he continues in the process of purity.
That's good. That's good. Thomas shared his prayer. It was three words long. And I love this prayer, because you and I talk about some prayers that just like bounce off the wall because it didn't have the submissive spirit. But this was the prayer, Lord, lead me. And so what's the unspoken? I can't lead me, Lord. I can't trust the culture to lead me or my friends to lead me. I'm a follower. I need you to lead, because I can follow. But Lord, you lead me. I can't lead me. I've already made a mess trying to lead me. Lord, you lead me. Please lead me.
And I think that's so powerful. I mean, and it gets you in the right perspective, I think. One of the things that we talk about all the time in our ministry and our workshops and everything that we do is that one of the most fundamental characteristics of a man or woman of purity is humility. And that simple prayer of, Lord, lead me, it's just a reminder that, you know what, I need to be led. I need to be humble. I need to realize that my way isn't working. And so I need to follow the Lord's way, because that's the way that works. And and Stephen, I think this would be a good time for us to transition into Stephen's, into Thomas's little bit of insight of what happens when you fall down. See, because this is the thing. I mean, this guy is an incredible role model today. But you know what? He understands that there are failures and falls along the way. And I think he provides some really good insight of what we need to do when we fall down on the journey.
Yes, and I love the, the assumption you're probably going to fall down. You're flesh.
Yeah.
You know, you're the creation. You're not the creator. You don't have it all together yet. So when you fall down, go back to the source. You know, grab your Bible, grab the word, and cry out, and just embrace, you know, his word, because it's like your compass. Go back to your compass, because you probably fell because you took your eyes off him. You probably fell because you got caught up in your own thoughts. Your lust ran wild, and you slipped.
Another thing you need to do when you fall down is confess. You know, I think one of the most powerful things we can do is simply is confess to one another. Certainly confess to God, but I think we need to confess to one another, I blew it, I made a mistake, I tripped, I fell. Because there is power in bringing what is in the dark into the light. And yes. It breaks that power by bringing those things into the light. So confession is very important.
And repentance, to turn around, to repent, turn around, go the other way.
And I love this one. When you fall down, and this is probably one of the hardest things to do when you fall down, because a lot of times your shame will just want to overwhelm you. But when you fall down, embrace grace. You know, one of the things I love about thinking about the idea of embracing grace is, you know, grace is defined as unmerited favor. So if you already don't deserve grace, why not embrace it in your most undeserving moments? I mean, you don't deserve it when you think you deserve it. So why not embrace it when you really don't deserve it? Because either way, we don't deserve grace. And so learning to embrace grace when you fall down helps put things in proper perspective. You have a God that will pick you up. You have other brothers and sisters that will pick you up and help you move forward.
Yes, and remember, he left the Holy Spirit to be your comforter. And his spirit communes with your spirit. It dwells within you to nurture and to heal and to direct and to comfort.
And remember also, when you fall down, that God can make you strong, that he's the one that can pick you up, that can move you forward. You know, the Bible even says that that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. So if we're willing to admit we're weak, willing to admit, you know, I tried to do it on my own here and I failed, God can lift us up. God can make you strong even after your failures.
Yes. And remember daily to practice self-control. You know, even as I say that, self-control, it kind of scares me, because it's like, do I have perfect self-control? You know?
Well, notice that self-control is actually one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Oh, so. There you go. Thank you. That's what is meant by exercising self-control. And I guess the alternative is more out of control. Practice right. Being more out of control versus self-control.
When I think of self-control, I think of, okay, self-control meaning I'm bridling self. I'm not saying self in control, because I don't want self in control, but self-control is bridling. And finally, we need to embrace that we are spirit-led. Remember that beautiful prayer, Lord, lead me.
Yes.
Just, I often envision thinking, and you've talked about this too, Stephen, is envision just, you know, being a child and holding your father's hand and him leading you. Mm. A child cannot lead a parent too well. They're not big enough to do it. They don't know the direction they need to go. But being led by the Spirit is really the key.
Yes, I'd like to close by saying thank you, Thomas, for sharing this story. You blessed me, and today you've blessed many others. God bless you.
We are glad that you've been with us today. You know, we hope that this story has been encouraging to you. We would like to hear your story. Please contact us. We're going to give you our contact information in just a moment. We want to hear what's going on in your life and how we can encourage you on your own journey to sexual purity. That's what we're here for. Again, thanks for being with us, and we'll see you here next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Today's Purity Pointer, making a point that makes a difference. Brought to you by Pure Sex Radio.
Don't panic. There are many things in this world that can cause us to want to fear or worry. There are also many challenges in recovery from porn and sex addiction that can raise up anxieties. We may feel like we will never reach the solid ground of purity, or that the obstacles are too great, or that maybe our shame is telling us the truth and we just can't make it. Don't panic. Rest in the Lord and on His mighty strength, so that you can press on when anxiety attempts to steal the joy and peace that awaits you.
Purity Pointer is a service of Pure Sex Radio. Listen to more Purity Pointers at puresexradio.com.
Men, we want to let you know about a resource that I think can really help you understand what it means in terms of how God builds spiritual men. There is a book that we can help you get a hold of called Shoulder to Shoulder. It's by a gentleman named Bill Mills, and Bill Mills is a pastor, teacher, and an author who lives in Illinois. He's the founder and president of Leadership Resources, and he has conducted Bible study conferences throughout the United States and all around the world. We become spiritual men as we walk shoulder to shoulder. Now, this book will show you how you can learn from your past, and with its failures, how that's actually part of God's sovereign process for you. You'll also learn how to face the ruins of your life as being the first stage of rebuilding. You'll also learn how you can wage triumphal spiritual warfare together with other men. You'll also learn joy, how that becomes the delightful evidence of the presence of God, and how hope can sustain you in the greatest disappointments of life. So the book is Shoulder to Shoulder. The author is Bill Mills. Contact our ministry today, and we can help you get a hold of this book so that you can begin to experience what it means to be a spiritual man with other men.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. That wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off. Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries.